Genesis chapter 2, let's all stand, please. We're going to read verse number 18. I'm going to preach a message that I tried to talk God out of a couple times the last couple days and this afternoon, so he won again, so here I am. And the reason I kept telling him, I said, Lord, that's not the message. I don't preach that to churches. I preach that to teenagers. But I'll be honest with you, I'll give you a little bit more of this in introduction. I just really feel like that I'm unusually impressed tonight to preach on this. And so we'll get into the message in just a minute. Let's read the scripture first, Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you would bless tonight's message. And Lord, it's not mine to question, it's mine to obey. So I pray, Lord, that you would do whatever you want to with this message. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would bless this young man. Lord, this young man, Wesley. I don't think any of us in here has probably ever seen him or met him or shook his hand. There's no face that we can place together with this name, no picture that comes to our mind. But Lord, there's a brokenhearted pastor, Lord, that loves his grandson. And Lord, if it was my child or my grandchild, I'd sure like Christians praying. So I pray, Lord, that you'd perform a miracle. Lord, in a very, very discouraging, very dark situation, Lord, that you would burst forth with light. And Lord, that you would get hope and healing and encouragement to this family. And Lord, again, we want to mention our pastor and our pastor's wife, Lord. It just never seems quite like home when they're on the road, but we love them. We want them to feel that, know that, and be with Pastor all day as he preaches today. Give him, Lord, the strength that he needs. Lord, the clarity of thought and mind and power of God upon him as he preaches. And Lord, we ask for some of that here. We also need to meet and to feel that we've been in church and feel that we've been blessed and helped. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would take this message and just accomplish that which you intend to accomplish with it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I've spent probably in the last couple months more time praying over a certain group of people in our church than I normally do. And I mentioned to you this morning, when God keeps bringing things to your mind, there's something you ought to do about it. Sometimes there's nothing you can do about it but pray. And you know what? That's still good. That's all right. Why does God keep bringing this to mind? There's really nothing I can do about this. Can you pray about it? Then pray about it. And so I found myself really without maybe all the answers, but at the same time burdened about a certain group in our church. We have an amazing amount, if you start counting them up, of young people in our church that are in that kind of no man's land between high school and really establishing a family in life. And also we have a large group of young people that are finishing out high school. And I guess different ones of these God keeps flashing in front of my mind and my thoughts to pray for, to think about. Because I believe that in the next few years for most of them, they will make what I call the second most important decision of their life. And we all know what the first most important decision of your life is. And what would that be? Amen. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, folks, we're not preaching a salvation message. But if there's never been a time where you've experienced true conversion, you've received Christ as your personal Savior, there is no greater, more important decision. Sometime between the time you're born and the time you die, you need to receive Jesus as your Savior. You say, well, when should I do that? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. If I wasn't saved, you think I'm kidding. You think I'm kidding. But knowing what I know now and understanding what I understand now, if I wasn't saved, I'd throw my hands up right now and call a timeout. Yeah, you can do that in the Baptist church if you want to get saved, all right? And call a timeout and say, preacher, I need somebody to take the Bible and show me. I mean, Jesus might come in the next few minutes, or my life could be taken in the next few minutes, and I need to be saved. Now, folks, don't neglect salvation. I think it's important. The Bible talks about neglecting salvation. I think most people will go to hell because they neglect salvation. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to in the last few weeks that told me and understood that they were lost. And you know what? After my conversation, I am convinced that they intend to be saved at some time. But you know what they're doing? They know about it. They know their need, but they're neglecting it. And boy, it's amazing. Satan can take a little handful of trinkets and a little handful of sin and say, listen, you sure don't want to lose all this. You don't want to turn your back on this. Just put that old thing off. Just, you know, listen, you'd have to change your life. You'd have to do different. You've got a plenty of time. You know what? Folks, there are millions and millions and millions and millions of people that have procrastinated their way right into a devil's hell. That's the honest truth. And so today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. The most important decision, the most important job, the focus of the church needs to be in populating the kingdom of God, getting lost folks saved. I believe this with my heart. I just don't say this. I believe the second most important decision that a Christian makes, especially a Christian young person, is in this matter of the decision of who they will choose as a marriage partner for life. And one of the reasons, let me just say this introduction, because I feel like if I say it, it's out in the open. Because one of the reasons I resist the idea of preaching this message to a church congregation as opposed to a bunch of teenagers is because when I'm preaching to a group of teenagers, they all, most of them in that room, now not always, but most of them in that room have all of their options open, have a chance to do it well and do it right the very first time. And I don't like to preach any message, and the design of this message and the purpose of this message is not to make one person feel bad about the situation that you find yourself in today. Listen, you know what? We can only go from where we're at. We can only do from where we are. Some folks in this room, the honest truth is, you weren't even saved when you made the decision to get married the first time. When you made that decision, you weren't even saved. You didn't have the opportunity to understand these biblical principles. I mean, you didn't. And you know what? Isn't God's grace amazing? I mean, isn't it a blessing? Isn't it amazing how many times God understands our situation and somehow saves us even though we didn't know what we were doing and really keeps us from a disaster? And it's amazing how often that happens. Well, folks, listen to me. When I'm preaching to Christian young people, and I need you to understand this. When I'm preaching to Christian young people, when we're talking about kids, that a lot of them from the very first few weeks after they were born were carried in and placed in a church nursery and have grown up knowing the right way and grown up. Listen, there is a right biblical way to do this. And I'm going to ask you, you know what, if by the grace of God, God has blessed you, and you didn't do everything right, and yet God has blessed you through either His mercy or His grace. He has blessed you. Be very careful in counseling young people to do things as you did if you did not do them biblically. Sometimes we just get defensive, you know. Well, now, wait a minute. That's not a way it worked out. Listen, they have an opportunity to do it right, and they need to do it according to the Word of God. They need to follow Bible principles because, folks, listen to me. This is a one-shot thing. I mean, you can say make some mistakes in life and then just say, whoops. But this is a mistake that literally could change the direction of a young person's entire time that they spend on this planet Earth for the rest of their lives. And so it's big. And boy, that's why, young people, you ought to go towards it and to it with trembling and fear. It's not a game to be played. Too much game playing being played. Even around here, there's too much game playing being played. These are Christian young people and Christian emotions and Christian futures. And God does have a will. And you know what? It's not about who's got a boyfriend and who doesn't. It's about finding God's perfect will. Finding God's perfect will for a husband and wife. And I think that God's got some Bible principles that we ought to follow. I understand within the realm of those principles, God does different things different ways. There are different ways people come together, different ways people meet, and I understand all of that. But I think still we need to make sure that we stay within the boundaries of these biblical principles. There's something that's in the heart of every young person as they're growing up. It's a secret that I know about them. The secret is that down deep in the part of them, in the part of you young people, that only you and God visit, is a secret desire, a private dream. It was placed there by God. There is not one young person here today, I don't care what age they are, that at times does not find themselves longing and wishing and hoping and looking forward and praying and hoping to one day be happily married. And you know what? I know this is true because God put it inside of you when he created you. It's not a bad thing. It's not a dirty thing. It's not a sinful thing. It's what God placed inside of you. It's there. I understand. It's there. Do you understand? I mean, you know, for some young people, there's some couples in the church that you watch. And, you know, when the preacher says, okay, let's bow for prayer, you know, there's prayers and then there's peekers. All right. There's a Baptist church usually has quite a few peekers, you know. And young people are great peekers. I'm not okay in it. I'm just telling you the way it is, all right? And so a lot of times these people, young people, before they bow their head and go into a reverent, fervent time of prayer, will peek a little bit first, all right? And what they do is a lot of times they'll look up at a couple in the church. And they'll maybe have noticed that when it's prayer time, this husband always reaches over and gets a hold of his wife's hands and hold their hand. And there's something inside of a young person that just sees that and says, wow, you know something, Lord, is there something like that for me sometime in the future? Is there somebody like that for me? You watch couples in a church and you see them as they're interacting or ministering together or speaking to each other or talking to each other. And you notice that there's this just between some married couples, there's just the romance and the love. And it's reflected in the way they look at each other. It's reflected in the way they smile at each other. It's reflected in the way that they kind of cuddle a little bit while they're sitting in it. And cuddling's good. Cuddling's okay. That's all right. You got a license to do it. It's great. It's great stuff, you know. And they sit close and that's all good. And you know what? There's something inside of you that is put there by God. It's God planted. It's there part of the creation of man. And it's inside of you. And you know what? Satan wants to mess that up. Satan wants to see to it that you never realize that. Satan wants to see to it that you miss God's perfect will for your life. Satan wants to see to it that you end up in a marriage that you'll regret one of these days. I mean, Satan's not for happiness. Satan's never been for happy, and they lived happily ever after. He's never been for that end of the story. He'll do everything he can, young people, to try to get you off track. He'll get you do everything he can to get you to think that you're smarter than the people around you that's trying to give you some biblical counsel. He'll get you focused in deciding that the way to do this thing is the way the world does it. And by the way, folks, parents, I need you on board on this thing. We need to get back to the Bible. You can't follow the world's process and come out successful. Look, read the papers. Good night. Read the papers. Look at the mess that's out there. If what they were doing was working, then the results would be there. It's not working. I mean, people are in a mess. Families are in a mess nowadays. Young people, listen to me. You've got a chance to do it right. Do you understand that? That you've got a chance to do it right? And if there's any area that you ought to want to do it right in, it ought to be in this area. Because this is a forever commitment. This is a till death do us part commitment. This is in a large part going to determine for the rest of your life your personal day-to-day happiness. That's true. I mean, this is big. This is gigantic. I can't emphasize it enough. And I'm going to tell you something. I work hard around here. Pastor works hard around here, encouraging and training and teaching young people. And listen to me. I meet with resistance, and I don't care. You can resist all you want to. Listen, too much is on the table. Too much is at stake to play a bunch of games when it comes to this matter of finding the person whom God has created for you that he intended you to spend the rest of your life with. Now, this is big stuff. Now, let me take you down through the Bible. And let's go and look at this story and pull out some Bible principles, all right? I want you to consider this, the most important decision of your life. What does the Bible teach us? How does the Bible tell us to go about this? First of all, let's look back at the scripture in chapter 2, verse number 21 and 22. It says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, and he made a woman and brought her unto him." Now let me remind you up here in verse number 18. The Bible says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him." I will tell you this. I want to say this in preface, because again, I usually don't have to go through all of these things. But it's these things that I'm going to tell you are true. There are instances that I believe that God's perfect will was for a lady or a man to spend their entire life single. I don't think that's the norm. I think it's rare, because in 1 Timothy, God even said, "I would that the younger women marry and bear children and guide the house." I mean, but there are times, listen, I can't argue with what I see. I believe there are times where I've seen instances where God, and he's, by the way, he always does that for a reason, for a specific purpose. I think of Viola Walden, who for years and years was John R. Rice's personal secretary. And you know what? She literally married her job at the Sword of the Lord. And that became her life. And I've always said this, if God doesn't bring a person into your life, he's going to bring something that's so big into your life that it would require more than you would be able to give if you were a married person. By the way, Paul experienced that, and he even encouraged some of the widows, that "I would that you remain even as I am," because he talked about the vigorous sacrifice of the ministry, and how in the type of ministry where he was traveling full-time on the mission field, being gone years at a time, it would have literally limited what God's perfect will for him to do. And sometimes I can't frustrate the will of God. I can't question the will of God. It's just true sometimes. But I want to tell you young people right off the bat, that's not true for most of you. That's really very, very rare. So listen to what I'm about to say now. God has... I love this. God, I love this. By the way, I love this story. And there's parts of the Bible I don't understand, and I don't think I'll ever understand. And there's some of the parts of the Bible that I think are so humorous. For instance, 18 through 20, I don't really understand completely all of this. But I'm going to read it, all right? It says that, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make and help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called them, every living creature, that was the name thereof. Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the fowls of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him." Now, man, let me just say that we ought to really appreciate Adam. I mean, can you imagine if Adam's naming all the animals, and all of a sudden, you know, here comes a hippo, and he goes, "Whoa, baby! I found..." I mean, yeah, <man. laughs> the giraffe comes along, and woo! Wow, I feel the magic, you know. Here's an ostrich, you know. Woo, check out those legs, you know. And I'm telling you, I don't understand it. I really don't understand verse 19 and 20. If you understand it, don't tell me. I have too much fun with it. I don't really want to understand it. I just say, "Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Adam, that you weren't a little strange. You weren't a little weird, man." And he checked out all the animals. He said, "Nope, no help meet here for me." So, thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't understand that, but it's interesting. Interesting reading. Let's go on to a part maybe I understand a little better. Okay. Verse 21. Notice this, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from him made he a woman and brought her unto him." Now those two verses, young people, are just so power-packed. Parents, they're so power-packed. And I think there's some Bible principles here that we ought to take a look at tonight. Number one, if I could get everyone to believe one thing, every young person to believe one thing, when it comes to this, making this decision, if there's only one thing I can convince you of, I want to convince you of this one thing. Every young person here tonight needs to believe that God has created someone specifically for you. Now, I need you to buy into that. God didn't put Adam to sleep, take five ribs out, make five women. So, okay, wake up. All right, date around, decide which one you want. God took one rib and made one woman and made her and designed her specifically to be a perfect match, a perfect helpmeet to one specifically created man. Now, the world wants to get silly, and they, a lot of times, by the way, in the process of saying some things, they don't realize it, but they are borderlining biblical principle. But there's been a term that's become popular in the last decade or so, and people talk about their soulmate. But you know what? The honest truth is, I like the term spirit mate, because I think that God created somebody for you. That means, now this is fascinating, that means that when you were born in a hospital years ago, in a reasonable amount of time period, there was somewhere in this world also born a person whom God created, specifically designed and created. I'm talking about when Jeremiah says that when God was forming them in the mother's womb. I'm talking about created their personality. I'm talking about created everything about them to be a perfect match for you. Now, if you don't believe that, you're going to fall into the world's philosophy of just keep going out there and trying this one and trying that one and chasing this one and chasing that one. That didn't work out, so I'll go to this one. That didn't work out, so I'll go to this and chase this one, chase that one. I'm just going to try to find somebody. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That doesn't show much of credit to God as far as being a great organizer and a great creator and a God of order and purpose and predetermined will. He took one rib and he made one woman and he designed her specifically, both physically and mentally and emotionally, to be a perfect match and a perfect helpmeet for Adam. Now, young people, you better grab a hold of that real tight. Because it's good that you settle this thing. It's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him, designed for him. Specifically designed, not for mankind, for Adam. I'll make a perfect match for him. Now, if you'll buy into that, and if you'll really believe that, you know what you can do? You can get off this romance roller coaster. You really can. You can step off that baby and say, I'm not buying any more tickets on that ride. God has a better way. God is in control. Remember what I said this morning? There's somebody up there trying to orchestrate this whole thing if we'd listen. And I know some of you matchmakers out here think that God needs help. But I'm going to be honest with you. Most of the time, that stuff muddles it up more than helps. What we need is young men that'll say, you know what? God's created somebody for me. And in his time, he's going to bring to me like he brought to Adam. Eve to Adam, and my job is to be focused on preparing for that day. My job needs to be focused on preparing my heart. My job needs to be staying into God's will. My job is to be ready for that, and I'm going to place that most sacred second decision in the hands of God Almighty, and I'm going to pursue the will of God, and in God's timing, in God's place, at God's predestined moment, that person will enter into my life, and I won't have to ride this silly, foolish romance roller coaster and go from this high to this low to ecstasy to tears and put myself in risk emotionally and physically of messing this thing up for the rest of my life. You know what our problem is? Our problem is a lack of trust in a divine sovereign God. Now, I'm telling you, I'm giving you a secret right now here that young people, you can just try to finally get off this and relax, and recline, and rest in. And take a deep breath and rest. So you know what? I can go about life now. I can go about God's purpose for me. You know what? God's taken care of this already, and he's going to take care of it. The making sure that it comes to fruition. Number one, God has created someone specific for you. Now let me give you something I think is just awesome. A part of you is in that specific one who has been created for you. Now, I like this. I like this. I'll show you that this is true. A part of you is in that specific one whom God has, who has been created for you. And he took one of his ribs, the Bible says, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman. Now, he took Adam's rib and he created Eve, and inside of Eve was a part of Adam. And I'm going to tell you something. To me, this just gives me goosebumps. I wish we'd realized that, you know, the world's trivialized this to the point where it's ridiculous. And yet God can create a young boy here and see that he is given the spark of light and formed to complete the job that God has for him. He can at the same time go to another part of country or county or state or wherever, and he can create a young lady. And he can make sure that a part of that young man is placed inside of that young lady, and that they are created for each other. And God has this whole thing worked out, that if these two young people will simply stay in the perfect will of God, that God will direct them to the place and time where they're to come together at the time when they're ready to come together, and at the time when they can do something about it when they come together, and they can be happily married in God's perfect, predestined, predetermined, sovereign will. That's good. That is good stuff. Now the devil's going to come to you and he's going to try to get you to be impatient. More young people mess up simply for this one reason: a lack of patience, a lack of willingness to let God bring things together in his time. We're going to always want to help God out. Oh my goodness, after all, I'm 14 and I don't have anybody. I'm going to be an old maid. Honestly. Number three, let me give you this. You will never feel complete. I'm going to tell you something. This is going to be a little discouraging, but it's true. You will never feel complete until you meet this person. Do you know why all these young men are the way they are around here? They're frustrated. Amen, brother? These young ladies, you know what? I'll tell you what, because you know what? Listen, this is awesome. Didn't you read down here? Therefore, verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be two flesh. Don't you understand that marriage completes an individual? We always talk about the empty hole inside of somebody that's never been saved and only salvation will fill it. You know also that there's a empty spot in your rib cage. And boy, that's a pretty good parallel. There is a part of you that just always is going to say, I'm not complete, I'm not complete, I'm not complete, I'm not complete, until you meet that person. Now, let me tell you something. The devil knows the way you're made also. And so what he'll do is he'll use that against you. He'll use that to try to get you out there into this romance roller coaster and try to get that need filled long before you ought to even be shopping. Okay? Well, Pastor, you really think there's something wrong with this going together, breaking up, going together, breaking up, going together, breaking up, going together, breaking up? No. I think it's great practice for divorce. It's self-serving. I just want somebody. You're more interested in having somebody than you are in the individual. Just want somebody. I want to have somebody. I just want to be able to tingle. I just want to be able to get these little notes. I want to get this little... You're not in love with that person. You're in love with the idea of being in love. And you know what you're doing? You're playing games with Christian young people. You're playing games with their emotions. You're playing... Listen, you're playing games with somebody that's probably not even the one that you're to have. Well, this is good. So boy, this ought to be a matter of prayer. Young people, you ought to pray about this. You ought to say, Lord, keep me pure and clean. Lord, keep me focused on your will. Lord, just help me to stay on track. Lord, help me to trust in you. Help me to know there's a time for this. And in your timing, you will... Listen, did you read what it says there? It says, if you'll stay in the garden, if you will stay in the garden, God will bring this person to you. Did you see that, verse 22? And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made a woman, and did what? Brought her unto the man. Wake up, Adam. Wake up, Adam. Oh, Lord, yes. Hey, I made you a woman. You did? Yeah. Where's she at? I hit her. Somewhere in the garden, go find her. Some of you married couples think that sounds like fun, don't you? But that's how we act. That's how we act. Oh, well, I got to go find them. Well, I got to keep searching. I got to keep dating this person, dating this person, dating this person, dating this person, because I got to search. I mean, God's, you know, I can't count on God. He might blow this thing. And young people are leaving in the will of, listen, if you have to leave the perfect will of God to pursue somebody, I will tell you right now that that young person is not the perfect will of God for you. And that's what's happening. That's what's happening. Listen to me, folks. No marriage is better than a bad marriage. Some of you don't believe this. You've been hoodwinked by... I'm telling you that's the truth. I mean, you listen to me. There's horror stories. You just have no idea. Boy, you need to pray about this. Boy, you need to listen to godly counsel. Listen, your mom and dad's not there against you. They're there placed by God because there's no two people in the world that know you better than they know you. And I'm not full of this nonsense. I'm teasing the girls. I'll share this with you. There's some weird stuff being taught out there. And if you believe this stuff, and get mad at me if you think it's, if I'm, for me calling it weird, I'm very sorry, but it's weird. I preached over in some churches in Illinois, and there's some interesting doctrine being preached. And I mean, there's some Christians into this betrothal, picking a husband or a wife for their children. Just go to another set of parents and make a deal. Now, one good part about it, when I was doing some studying on it and got some tapes about it, is that there's one preacher that's got a tape called The Principle of the Bride Price, and he was talking about a dowry. Well, that sounded pretty cool to me. You know, I thought, if I work this right, man, I could retire. I just cut the right deal with the right guy, you know. I can, amen. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not for that. I'm not for parents going out and picking their child's mates for them. And there's only one thing I can think of that's more ridiculous than that. And that's this. A child who goes out and makes the decision without the input and influence of their parents' counsel. So I think it's ridiculous that mom and dad would choose my... I'm going to tell you, the only thing more ridiculous than that is for you not to listen to your mom and dad's advice during the process. I'm telling you. Most of the time when we see marriages go bad, most of the time when we see a disaster, if you nail them down, a lot of times they will say, and I'm not trying to hurt anybody, and there's people in this room that are gracious enough that would say in private with me, you're right. I'm glad you said that to those young people. But there were people that God sent in their life that said, don't do this. And you better listen. Folks, your heart is real good at feeling, but it's not real good at thinking. So you need to be careful. You need to be careful. Now, let me show you, young people. Say, well, Pastor Jerry, what am I supposed to do? Now, I want to show you a principle found in verse number 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. It's kind of interesting that during the process of preparation that God put Adam to sleep. Now, parents, please listen to me. Please listen to me right now, because I want to give you a Bible principle that is so important. And when you think about this during the week, even if you don't swallow it tonight, if you'll just meditate on it and think about it, you'll see that society is designed to wake up a young person way too early in this process. And God's principle is, Adam, I'm going to put you to sleep. I'm going to take part of you and I'm going to make a woman. And in my time, I'm going to come wake you up and I'm going to bring her to me. Now, young people, listen to me. The Bible principle isn't you go to sleep and then we'll wake you up when your wife shows up. The Bible principle is, I've heard suggestions about putting them in boxes and different things like that, but I don't think that's not biblical. I don't think that's biblical either. Well, but the Bible principle is, young people, listen to me. You need to let God, listen, you need to let that part of you stay asleep. And Satan's always trying to wake it up. He's trying to wake it up earlier and earlier and earlier in young people's lives. I mean, you know, I'm driving a public school bus when I'm over here at Brazil, Indiana, pastoring. And I'm driving a public school bus and the kids are loading. I got everybody and they're ready to go and we're pulling out. And suddenly on my shoulder, there's a second grade girl. And she says, "Hey, how you doing?" And I said, "How are you doing today?" "Good." She said, "I want to tell you something." I said, "What?" She said, "I'm going with Randy." "Where are you going?" "I mean, let's jump on our trikes and we'll take off somewhere, you know." By the way, that is not unusual. No, that is the norm. No, I'm serious. First, second grade, they're already boyfriend, girlfriend, breaking up. This, I'm going with this guy, I'm chasing this guy. And one of the things that's hard to deal with the kids we bring in on the bus route is trying to say, listen to me. Listen, the TV sitcoms are waking this up way too early. Listen, well, it doesn't hurt. There's nothing nasty. There's nothing bad about this. I've watched this sitcom. I'm letting the kids watch it. They don't curse. They don't have homosexuals on. Let me tell you what they probably have on. A bunch of kids that are way too young that's deeply involved with members of the opposite sex. And so they watch that and they think that's normal. Wow, good night. Look, she's in seventh grade and she's had four boyfriends and she's found this really neat guy. And you know what? Folks, on TV, you can make it all work out so nice. What you might want to do is look at those childhood stars and start checking out their personal lives. Real life. Where they don't click it and say, "That's a cut. That's a wrap. Go home." Find out what happens after that. I'm telling you, the music industry is trying to wake that up way too early. You would be shocked if you looked at the words to the popular pop culture songs. How many of them are telling them, "Follow your heart, follow your heart. Your mom and dad's trying to squelch your only chance for love. Old people don't understand. You just got to do your own thing. If it feels good, do it. If it's in your heart, you got to do it. Not follow the scripture, not follow godly counsel. Follow your heart, follow your heart, follow your heart." And you know what? Young person after young person after young person. Listen, we had a lady, had a girl call the other day and she wanted to order some of the Stay in the Castle booklets. And she deals with fifth and sixth grade public school teenagers. And she said, "You know what? I've seen in your advertisement, I've heard you say that, you know, this is a tool that needs to get in the hands of every teenager." She said, "Good night. We got to get this into the hands of them way before teenage years. They have become so active at a young age. They've got to understand the principles of sequestering themselves away in the strong castle of God's will and waiting for God in His time to bring the right person to them and stop going out and running up and down through the village dating anything that moves." Now I'm telling you the truth here. I'm trying to help you today. I don't have an axe grind with anybody. If you leave here, you can do as a parent, I promise you, anything that you want to do. And you know what? You'll do what you want to do. And I'll still love you. And I'll still love your kids. And I'll still be your friend. But I'm telling you, we're making a mistake here. And there's too much at stake for us not to make sure that we do this thing right and train our children up right. Amen. So Adam was put to sleep, and then God in His time came and woke up that part of him. And you notice when He woke him up, the woman was right there, and it was time for it. It was the time of life for that. And young people, that's why I'm going to tell you. I'm telling you, parents, what we teach here. I'm telling you what we enforce here. I and me and Pastor both are adamantly against young people still in our youth group getting involved in one-on-one, secluded relationships with each other. I can't control what you do, and it's not my job to control what you do and what you allow. But I'm telling you that the young people, I'm telling you on 25 years experience working with teenagers, the young people that get in those premature relationships lose their spiritual focus. They're stunted in their spiritual growth. Everything becomes second of importance, and they get wrapped up in somebody way too early, and they usually sit there and spiritually and in every other area of their life lose ground and lose focus. I'm telling you, that's true. I had the privilege, and last year, God's opened some doors. I preached to groups of young people bigger than this. And you know what happens during invitation? I'll see this group coming, this group coming, this group coming, and we'll get into a service and we'll preach it, and there'll be a real, honest, genuine Holy Spirit movement, and there'll be some unbelievable things happen, and the altars will be filled. Now listen to me, watch what I'm saying. I'm standing up here and the altars are filled, and guess who's still sitting in the congregation? Couple, 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 couple. Couple. They're sitting there more worried about what he's going to think, or more worried about what she's going to think, or if I get right with God, well, she might break up with me. I don't know. You know, and they're so into that they can't hear God anymore. I'm telling you, I have eyewitness. I've sat there and watched it. Okay, and I know that you can come to me, and I know that there's always exceptions to every rule, and I know sometimes God in His grace and mercy, but I'm telling you, the young people that think that they're always the exception to the rule are the ones who are not the exception to the rule. And I think we just ought to be more interested in just following the rule. Following wisdom, doing the right thing. Your teenage years, young people, are a time for preparation, not pursuit. Did you get that? Your teenage years are a time for preparation, not pursuit. And this is what happens. A young person who studies these Bible principles and really buys into them. I'm not talking about they just do it because mom and dad said to do it and make them do it and won't let them do any there. I'm talking about a young person that buys into it and says, you know what, God, you're a holy God. You're a sovereign God. I don't believe that you created me without having the forethought of creating somebody for me. I believe inside that person is a part of me. I feel like we're going to be complete one day, and I want to make sure that I save myself and do this thing right and meet that person. I'll tell you what, Lord, during my teenage years, what I'm going to do is I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to stay busy preparing myself so that when I meet that individual, I will be the best wife that I could possibly be, or I will be the best husband I would possibly be. And they spend their teenage years working on the skills that will make them have a successful marriage. Listen, our young people, a lot of them in this world, are so busy pursuing and breaking up and investing and dating and all this other stuff that when they finally get married, they don't have the basic tools to know how to make a relationship work. Too many of them build it totally on the physical. It's all physical attraction. You're going to find out once you get inside the bounds of marriage, that's great, that's wonderful, but you know what? If that's all you've got holding a relationship together, it won't hold it together. Amen. Boy, I'm burdened about this. I mean, I'm passionate about this. Do you notice I'm passionate about it? You know why? Because we do so much here, and we invest so much. And parents, I watch you invest so much, and I watch you sacrifice so much, and I watch you pray so much, and I watch you cry so much. And we've got to protect our young people and put some thinking and some training into them, because you can do all of that, and in one bad decision, they can ruin the rest of their life. Never be the same. Never be able to complete God's perfect. I'm not saying God can't still do something with them. I'm just saying never be able to be and do all that God wanted them to do. Now, Pastor, do you know people? Yes, and we love them. We cherish them. And you know what? You've got to live from where you're at and praise God. You go on. But I don't want it for him. And I don't want it for him. And I don't want it for him. And I don't want it for him. I don't want it for that young man there. And I don't want it for these young ladies over here. I want them to find that person God has created for. I'll close with this, but me and Cheryl was talking about we're going to continue to do this. And we had another trip or two planned, and we're trying to approach this thing of Amanda and her senior year and what college she wants to go to, and we want to approach it prayerfully, want to be in God's perfect will. And Cheryl was talking about how much of a help it was to her, because during her junior and senior year, her dad took her on several trips to visit Bible college. She said he took me in, and she began to name several Bible colleges where they walked on this campus. They sat in chapel. They looked around. And she said, you know what? And I watched this. She said, you know what? She said, they were fantastic places, and we visited a lot of tremendous colleges. I'm going to tell you, our young people are so fortunate. They have got an unbelievable selection out there as far as good, solid, independent, fundamental Baptist Bible colleges. I'm just telling you, there's a great list of choices. But you know what? It's important that she goes to where God wants her to go. You understand that? I mean, do you understand how big the will of God is? Do you understand how enormous it is? Do you understand we've been working for a lifetime to prepare? And Dad's slowly going like this. Slowly. And Mom's kind of going, helping me a little. And she needs to be somewhere where she can find God's perfect will. And Cheryl was telling me, she said, you know, a lot of good colleges I went to visit. And by the way, this isn't a plug for the college where I went to college. I'm going to tell you what, I'm as happy as long as our kids go to a good, decent college, praise God for it. But she said, when I walked into House Anderson College, she said, in just a few moments of being on campus, she said, there, I knew that I was supposed to be here. And that could be the same for you at some other place. And I looked at her and I said, do you know why? This is going to sound so selfish and so self-serving, but I don't think it is. It's because he wanted you where I would find you. And that's why this is big stuff. This is big stuff. Young people, I cannot tell you, and I could have couples come up here one after another, and they all met different ways, different circumstances. We don't have a corner on anything. But I'm telling you, I cannot put into words the happiness, the day-by-day personal happiness and peace and joy that rests right here in my heart for one reason, and that's because I have her. And if you do it right, you'll have that. And I want you to have it. I want you to have it. Now, young people, I love you. I hope you understand that I'm your biggest cheerleader. Besides your mom and dad, I'm here rooting for you. I mean, I love you. I'm not trying to make your life unhappy. I'm not trying to make it miserable. I'm not trying to be some mean ogre. I just want you to do things right so God could bless you. Let's pray for our young people. How about that? Adults, can we bind our hearts together to do that? I mean, boy, they need our... And by the way, they need our understanding. I mean, you remember when you were a teenager? Come on now. Sometimes it's easy for us to sit in our judgment seat and say, well, they didn't do that, they're not doing it. Let me tell you something. Most of them around here are doing a lot better than we did growing up. But they need our love. They need our prayer. They need our understanding. And you need to understand, parents, that there is a frustration that comes with this. There's a frustration that comes with the waiting. And that doesn't make them bad kids. I mean, God put it there. But at the same time, as a parent, you help guide them. Help set some principles, set some rules that will help them to guide, to get them to the point where they can fulfill the perfect will of God. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for meeting with us tonight, Lord. We are a blessed people to be in this place. We're a blessed people to come to church here. I mentioned to somebody the other day, if you walk into a church and you don't see any teenagers and you don't see any children, that you're in a dying church. Doesn't mean it's not a good church right then, but you're in a dying church because there's no future. I look around here and I rejoice to see the work that you're doing in young people's lives. Every one of them, Lord, are so unique. They're all different. They all have a uniqueness about them that only a creator with a specific design can create in an individual. They're fun to talk to. They're fun to be around. And Lord, as much joy as we receive from watching their lives and seeing them, we understand also, Lord, that there is a organized satanic plot to ruin the future of every one of the young people that are sitting here under the sound of my voice. And Satan doesn't want to see one of them happy. He didn't want to see one of them happily married. He didn't want to see he wants to ruin their lives and wreck their future and ruin their testimony. He wants to get them off track. He wants to get them confused. He wants them to end up in a relationship that's harmful to them and harmful to the testimony of Christ. God, please help us. Give us the wisdom. I mean, Lord, I didn't give a whole lot of specific answers. And Lord, every parent here is just going to have to get on their knees and hammer out with you some of the specifics of what they should do and what they shouldn't. But Lord, I pray that we would honor your time-tested and true biblical principles. And Lord, help this to come from the heart of the young people. Lord, help there to be a trusting in their nature, a willingness to trust you and place their future and their hands in your hands and understand that you're a good God, you're a loving God, and you reward those who follow your will. Lord, I pray that you speak to hearts today. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.